Well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We are broadcasting today from the Tower of Finland. That is Sauna Tower, where
you
I still...
Didn't say anything about the...
Yeah, well, I have now two weeks in a row unsuccessfully tried to turn on the air conditioning, but that's all right. We are glad to be here, and we are reading 2 Corinthians. We just began last week. And so we're in chapter 1, and I think we are at verse 6. Verse 6 quickly, but we'll start there, and then we'll move on further into the chapter. Of course, this is part of the thanksgiving or the blessing that Paul, with which he begins the letter, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and so forth. And 2 Corinthians, I don't think I mentioned this last week, is really all about, it's occasioned by the growing reconciliation between the Apostle Paul and his often wayward Corinthian converts. As we read slowly, of course, but further deeper into the letter, we'll see that 2 Corinthians is probably written from the road in Macedonia. Because Paul has been doing his thing, but he had sent Titus to try to reconcile the situation and draw the Corinthians back to Paul's teaching and his authority, and it seems to have worked. And so we'll get some of that later on in the letter, some of that specific historical context. But we've got all sorts of parakaleoing going on, all sorts of comforting, and that's specifically why, because Titus is coming, has comforted Paul. Verse 6, I guess, is when where we'll start. So I'll read it, and it might sound something like this. I think we did do at least part of this last week. So, eta death lebamatha, hypertes humon paraklesios, kai soterias. Eta parakalumatha, hypertes humon paraklesios, tes en ergumenes en hypomene, ton auton pathematon, hon kai hemes paskamen. So Paul does the eta eta, so if this, if that. So if we are being thliboed, you can see thlibo is a present indicative passive, could be middle, first person plural. Thlibo means to press, and from there it comes to mean oppress or be in tribulation. So if we are being oppressed, now you have to repeat the verb, we are being oppressed, on behalf of, hyper plus the genitive, the of you consolation and salvation. So, of course, this is Paul, the apostle and pastor, on behalf of his converts. Then he continues, if we are being comforted or consoled, once again, this is parakaleo, and that explains the ou, vowel contraction in the epsilon contract verb there. If we are being comforted on behalf, we are being comforted on behalf of the of you comfort or consolation. And now let's say more about that parakleseos by putting the article and following it with an attributive position participle. Your comfort, the working by means of or in endurance, comfort. So energumenes it could be in form present participle passive, but it's always taken as middle. Apparently this is the common way of the verb energeo. It's not deponent. You get both active and middle forms. But the middle doesn't really seem to have much difference in meaning according to the lexicon. So your comfort... Now we'll do the attributive position translation, which is working or is effective. Now N plus the dative. And here a sort of a dative of means translation works quite well. Remember that N plus the dative is just every bit as flexible as the simple dative. So you can have indirect object, you can have dative of means, you can have a causal dative, but a dative of means works quite well here. So... It is on behalf of your consolation, which is being effective, or which is working, by means of the endurance, the hypomene, of sufferings, and then we've got auton there in sandwich position. This is the intensive use of the third person personal pronoun. When it's in attributive position, it means same. This is one of these little points of grammar. I think it's in Velt's Miscellany at chapter number 800 or something like that. But it's in there in Dr. Velt's not-so-fundamental Greek grammar. If auton were be in, if it were in predicate position, it would mean it would intensify. It would mean the sufferings themselves. But here Paul is trying to identify. So he says, by the endurance of the same sufferings. Now we have a relative pronoun which should be accusative, because it's the direct object of the following verb in the clause, which also we poskomen are suffering, right? But this happens a fair amount. We've already seen it once in this chapter. The relative pronoun sometimes gets, believe it or not, this is the phrase, attracted to the case of the antecedent. So the antecedent is genitive, the relative pronoun, which should be accusative because it'd be the which we suffer, but it's genitive, so it's the wrong case. But at any rate, Paul is trying to bind them together to himself again, the same consolation, shared suffering in the sake of the gospel, and so forth. So whether we're in bad shape, Paul says, it's for your sake. Whether we're in good shape, it's for your sake. And we are sharing the same sufferings together in Christ. That's kind of the message of the verse. So that's kind of the grammar of verse 6. Thoughts, questions, comments, anything in particular? All right, seeing no motions, we'll move on to verse 7. Kai he elpis hemon bebaya hiper humon edatis hati hos koinonoi esta ton pathematon hutos kai tes paraklesios. So the first clause doesn't have a verb. We just have and the hope of us, our hope, and then an adjective, certain. Bebaios, bebaya, bebayon means certain. And there's no verb, so you just supply the linking verb, right? And our hope is certain on behalf of you. And now we have a participle. This is from our friend Oida, and the participle, when it leaves the indicative, it drops the omicron and it goes to aid. So, and Oida, as you might remember, means to know. So, eidates, knowing, and it probably is causal, because we know. Knowing that as, and then so also. So we've got hos, and then dot, hutos kai, right? So knowing that as, next word, or two words in, esta, from eme, just as you are, and then the koinonoi, which actually precedes the verb, is the predicate nominative. The subject is you, because it's te in the verb ending. Just as you are partakers or partners of sufferings, we, in English, we would say partners in sufferings. Hutos kai. So also, thus also. And now he just throws the genitive at you. And you have to supply, you are partners of consolation, or partakers of, or as we say in English, in consolation. There is a lot of this kind of short phrasing in 2 Corinthians where, because it's so clear to Paul, and it's supposed to be clear to us, he just leaves a bunch of stuff out. He just doesn't repeat, and you're supposed to fill in the gaps as here.
And
so
he leaves out a lot of verbs
in 2 Corinthians, and I think it's because the sentences seem to be relatively short. It actually brings up the question of style, and it's a good reminder that most of the letters of Paul to the churches have our co-authors named Timothy or Titus or Silvanus or somebody like that. And we know that there were scribes, you know, Paul probably dictated most, if not all, of his letters. And so the wild card factor, in a sense, is the role that either the co-authors named or the scribes played in the actual writing down and the word choice and that kind of thing. And fetch, you have to go back and fetch the subject from the prior clause. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Like the verb, he just makes a sharp clause and you gotta.
Yeah, that's what he does here at the end, Dan. You gotta go back and grab both the subject and the verb, right? And the predicate nominative, for that matter, because what you need to finish out the houtos kai is you need houtos kai koinonoi este. You are partners, are partakers of consolation, right?
So the clause, you have to go back.
Yep.
To the previous clause.
You're backfilling. This is called grammatical backfill. That's right. So, right. So, again, having said this, now Paul goes on to talk about the struggle that Paul himself had. He'll develop this, I think, until the middle of chapter 2, when he finally says, and Titus showed up, and we're really happy about this. But we haven't quite got to that point yet. So we'll do verse 8, which can be taken as a sentence, I guess. So, Ugar thelemen humas agnoein adolfoi, hypertes thlipsos hemon tes genomenes en te asia, hati kath hyperbolein hyperdinamen ebarethemen, hosta ex apo rethenai hemas kai tu zain. Now there's some nice illustrative and interesting grammar in here. Paul likes to say this fairly often, for we do not want you to be ignorant. He uses that kind of an idiom when he's about to remind them of something. He uses it in other letters. For we do not want you, agnoein, just the present infinitive of agnoeo, to be ignorant, brothers. Now, we have hyper plus the genitive, which often means on behalf of. Here, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and so it's typically just translated about. And you can see that there's a text-critical marker, a hyper, the dogleg right. And the dot in it means it's just the second dogleg right or replacement in this verse. And I can tell you without looking down, although I did look down, that the variant reading is peri plus the genitive, because hyper and peri are come to be kind of interchangeable at times. Peri normally means about. Hyper normally means with the genitive on behalf of. Here, if hyper is the right reading, it probably has the force of peri, which would explain the variant reading. So, for we do not wish you to be ignorant, brothers, about, now the genitive after the preposition, the thlipseos. This is from thlipsis. It's related to thlibo, which we saw just two verses before, and it means oppression or tribulation. Okay? Remembering that thlibo means to press or to oppress. Concerning the tribulation of us, now let's modify tribulation, put another article, and now a participle, the aorist participle from genomai. The tribulation of us, the happening in Asia, one, if I could do it that way. So genomenes is attributive adjectival, and its referent is thlipsaos. About our tribulation which happened in Asia, and of course remember that Asia is Asia Minor, which we would call Turkey, right? That, hati, kath hyperbolein. Hyperbole means greatness or exaggeration or something like that. Kata plus hyperbole means exceedingly, according to greatness, according to exceedingness. That greatly, hyperdinamin, above power. Note that this is hyper plus the accusative, which means above, right? So that exceedingly above power, ebarethemen. Well, even if you don't know what bareo means, you can spot this as a aorist indicative passive, because there's a theta eta on the stem. Bareo means to be heavy. And in the passive, it means to be weighed down, okay? and this is the first person plural. So we were weighed down. Now we have hosta, followed by an infinitive from ex apolreomai. This verb, the lexicon says, is deponent. So it's a passive deponent, but it has an active meaning. So it means to be in doubt. All that work, and it means to be in doubt. Yeah, yeah. With the result that, and now the remember that when you have an explicit subject of the infinitive, it's going to be what case? Accusative. And that's what hamas is doing, the next word after the infinitive. Us to be in doubt. Or with the result that we were in doubt, chi, even. Now, this I had to look this part up. Ex aporeomai takes a genitive direct object. Okay? That's why you've got two. And zane is, anybody, does that look familiar at all? What is it? What's zane? It's close. It's actually an infinitive. It's from zao. No, nobody, no normal person would know this, which is why I know it. See? No, this is actually the simple infinitive from zao. All right? And here the article turns it into the genitive case direct object of the infinitive, because this verb takes a genitive direct object. And when you put all that together, it would sound something like, we were weighed down with the result that we were in doubt, or we were, sometimes it's rendered, we were despairing, might be too strong, chi, even of to live, or even of life itself. So, yeah, so that's kind of interesting. You get hosta plus the infinitive, which is a result clause. And then you don't actually see very often this kind of a genitive infinitive to zane, but that's what it is, and it's genitive because this verb takes a genitive object. So, all right. See, thoughts, questions, clarifications on verse 8. All right, it's getting tough here. Ben has pulled out the chocolate, so that means we're really doing hard work now. All right, we'll go on to do verse 9. Allah, autoi en he autois, ta apakrima tu thanatu eschekamen, hina me pepoi thates omen ef he autois, al epi to theo, to egerante tus necrus. Allah is the strong adversative conjunction but, or rather, but. And now we have the verb is in the second line, eskekamen. This is a strong form, so it's a little irregular. It's actually from a common verb. It is from echo. Where the sigma and all that other stuff comes from, I don't know. But you can see the kappa, and you'd guess that it was perfect, and that's exactly right. This is actually the perfect indicative active first person plural of echo. Now, there's no discernible duplication, which is what you'd normally expect on the fourth principal part, the perfect active. But that's what it is. And the verb by itself means we have had. Again, echo is to have. Now, we have a very emphatic subject because autoi back at the beginning of the line, beginning of the verse, is unnecessary. It's the third person personal pronoun. We've got we already in the men ending on the verb. So autoi is emphatic. We ourselves have had. And it's not just we ourselves, but we ourselves in ourselves. En he autois, the reflexive pronoun, have had. Now we have the object, which is in front of the verb, ta apokrima. An apokrima is an official decision, or almost sentence. I think it's often translated sentence here. The sentence of death. So that much, cleaning it up. Rather, but we ourselves have had in ourselves the sentence of death. And why would that happen? So that we could have our best life now? Thank you very much, Joel Osteen. No. Because Christian apostleship and often Christian life is shaped like a cross. That's why. Paul is all about this in 2 Corinthians, and you can see it here already. Purpose. We ourselves have had the sentence of death in ourselves in order that. Now, three words in, you see omen? That's not the name of a horror flick. That is the present subjunctive of the linking verb. In order that we might be. And pepoithotes, now this is an interesting one. This is the perfect participle active of patho. Patho means I persuade or I convince. Oddly enough, in the perfect active, it means I am confident. Now, there's two possibilities here as to what this participle is doing. One of the grammars specifically says that it's linked with the linking verb, and it's, here's the dreaded phrase, a periphrastic participle. So we, and you just do it like in English, linking verb, ing-word, we are being confident. And that's probably the easiest way to take it. So the purpose clause then would be in order that we might not be confident, F how autois, in ourselves, rather, now Dan, just as you said, you reach back and repeat the verb, right? We might be confident, epitotheo, in God. And why in the world could we be confident in God? Let's describe him now. To egeronte tus necrus, the one who egeros, who raises the dead, right? So, even if life itself goes away, in a sense, no problem, Jesus has that covered, right? Because even if ministry and Christian life takes us into death, we know that God raises the dead, right? And then Paul is going to go on to talk about God some more, who, the relative pronoun begins verse 10, but maybe we'll just stop here and pick that up next week. So let me do 8 and 9 together in kind of one continuous translation, and then we'll stop. So verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about our tribulation which happened in Asia, that exceedingly above our power we were weighed down so as to despair even of life. But we ourselves have had in ourselves the sentence of death for this purpose, not in order that we might be confident in ourselves, but in order that we might be confident or convinced in God, who raises the dead. And of course, this is just a basic lesson or theology of my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, guess what letter that occurs in? 2 Corinthians. It's in chapter 12. So you already see that kind of theology being developed here. And we will pick up at verse 10 next week. So thank you very much.